Good afternoon. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing. We're a local congregation. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace, which is just opposite where the police station is, up in the hill. And we are almost next door to Thornwood Primary School. We'd like to give you all a warm welcome to come along to our services. We meet on the Lord's Day, which is Sunday, and we meet at 11 a.m. and again at 6:30 p.m. in the evening. And we also have a midweek meeting on the Wednesday evening at 7:30, to which you're all welcome to come along, whereby you might hear something more concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been some time since we've been out here. The last time we came, there was buskers, so we went along to the Partick Market instead. But we're glad to be out here this afternoon and to bring to your attention something concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the very sum and the substance of Christianity. And that's what we're here to promote. It is to promote Christ and His cause. For we believe this is a message that every single one of us needs to hear, and we need to respond appropriately to that message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, today, in the time that we find ourselves living in, many people have, quite frankly, rejected Christianity. They think the Bible is old and old-fashioned, and that it has nothing to say to mankind. But really, that's the complete opposite of the truth. The Bible has something to say to you and I today. It is God's Word. It is living and active. And it speaks to the situations that we find ourselves in as individuals, as families, and as communities, and as nations. And therefore, if we reject the message of the Bible and what it teaches us, it really is to our own detriment. And that's why we come out here this afternoon to seek to tell you just something concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, maybe the first question we should ask ourselves is, who is Jesus? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you know, friends, that historic Orthodox Christianity teaches us that God is three persons and one God. There are three persons in the Godhead: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they are equal in power and in glory. And the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the eternally begotten Son of God. As the Son of God, He is eternal, and He had no beginning, and He will have no end. He is eternal. And indeed, the Bible would go on and tell us that He is the one who has created the heavens and the earth. All things were made by Him and for Him. But in a moment of time, the eternally begotten Son of God became man. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by a mysterious and miraculous operation of God the Holy Spirit. Now, it's beyond our comprehension to understand exactly what happened on that occasion, but it is a fact. And He was conceived in an extraordinary manner in order that He would not inherit mankind's sin, which we call original sin. Because the Savior, and that is what His name means, Jesus, that's what it means, he was going to be one who was going to save his people from their sins. And the only way that he could possibly save was that he himself would be sinless. And this was achieved when the Holy Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary, and by a miraculous miracle, the baby Christ was conceived. And then after the fullness of time, he was born in the ordinary manner. After 9 months, he was born. Born in Bethlehem. Born in a stable. And for about 30 years, he grew up in Nazareth. And we know very little about his early life. But there came a point in his time when he was inaugurated to his public ministry. And he was baptized by John the Baptist at the River Jordan. And from that point on, he began his public ministry. And he went around teaching and preaching the good news of the gospel. And what is the good news of the gospel? Well, the good news of the gospel is that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he came to give his life for ransom for all. And when he began his public ministry, he said to his hearers, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And that was telling them that they had to change their lives. If they were to be in the kingdom of God, then they would have to change their lives because they themselves were sinful. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to the Jews at this time. But the message is apt and appropriate for us today. Because if we want to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to be in his kingdom and to experience all the blessings that he has for his people, this is something that we must know also. We must know repentance. Why so, you might ask? Well, we need to repent, every one of us, because we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us. We find that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, where it says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that's true of every single one of us today, whether we like it or not. It doesn't flatter us, we acknowledge, but nevertheless it is true. We are sinners in the sight of God. And because we are sinners, then we need a Savior. And that Savior is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he came to do. This is his great mission. And the Bible makes it clear that we need to be saved. We cannot save ourselves. We need to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, by what he has done on Calvary's tree. And therefore, friends, we want to ask ourselves today, do we know anything of repentance? Do we know anything of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and having him as our Lord and Savior? This is why we come out this afternoon, that you might know something about this and that you might put your faith and hope and your trust upon him, the one who did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. "I have not come to destroy men's lives," he says. "Instead, I have come to save them." And before we will ever truly benefit from the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must come to this realization that we are sinners in the sight of God. You might say to me, "But sir, I'm not a sinner. I've never done anything wrong in my life. I'm not in trouble with the law. I've never been to court. I've never been to prison. Therefore, surely I cannot be described as a sinner." Well, that's not how the Bible looks upon every one of us. God has given us a law. What is that law? The law is the Ten Commandments. You know something of the Ten Commandments because they are written in your heart. Yes, it's part of our constitution. It's part of our makeup, if you like. God has made us in his image, and part of that image He has given us His law, the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment is, Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. And if we really knew and understood that commandment, and if we grasped its full application to us, we would realize that we have broken that commandment itself. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Do you have other gods before the living God, the one who made you and formed you, the one who's given you life, the one who has clothed you and fed you and given you water to drink and food to eat, and all the good things that we enjoy in this life have come to us from our great God? Ask yourself this question. You've got up this morning. Have you ever, even today, given a thought to God who has made you and formed you? Have you called upon Him to thank Him for your rest and sleep and your breakfast that you've eaten? Have you ever given any consideration to the fact that you owe everything to the living God and Him alone? More than likely, your thoughts have been taken up primarily with yourself. We're all exactly the same. Our lives seem to revolve around ourselves and only ourselves. That is a form of idolatry. That is not giving God His rightful place in our lives, not giving Him the worship and the adoration that's due unto His great name. For when we do not consider the Lord our God, and when our thoughts simply revolve around ourselves and our own lives and the things that we think that are important to us, we are denying God the attention and the devotion that He rightly deserves and requires. And that's why the first commandment says, Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. We might not have statues or images in our homes, and we might not bow down to false idols like the primitive people do and still do today, but you can still be an idolater. It's when you put anything in your heart and in your life that should be devoted to God instead. We could think maybe of your money, your bank balance, maybe your possessions, your home, maybe your employment, or your spouse, or your children, or your grandchildren. These are things that maybe take up all your time and all your energy, all your enthusiasm. It's all wrapped around these things, and you never give any thought to the living God. These are idols. Maybe your idol is entertainment and looking forward to a great weekend when you might eat and drink and be merry and engage yourselves in all kinds of entertainments. Maybe your idol is sport. How many people spend a lot of money on following their favorite football team or their favorite sport? And if they calculated how much they spend week by week, it would be an enormous amount. Very possibly, friends, that could well be your God, the football team that you support. Well, the Bible tells us, Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. And to have another God before God, the one who made you and formed you, is to break the first commandment. And if we break the first commandment, we have broken them all, the Bible tells us. You'll find that in James chapter 2. I'm not going to open my Bible at the moment because it's damp and I don't want my Bible to get wet. But you go to James in the New Testament in chapter 2, and there you will find that if we break one commandment, then we are guilty of breaking them all. And the Bible then would tell us, not to flatter us, but to inform us and to warn us that we are lawbreakers. We have broken God's law. Very possibly we have never broken the law of this land, but we have broken God's law, and we've done it every day of our lives. And that's why the Bible calls us sinners. And therefore, because we're sinners, we are separated and estranged from God. What can we do? Well, in one sense, there's nothing we ourselves can do. That's why Jesus came. He came to address a problem that you and I cannot address ourselves. What is that problem? Well, that problem is the problem of our personal sin and the fact that we are accountable unto God because of it. And we cannot deal with it ourselves. We cannot buy our way out of our sins. We cannot turn over a new leaf. We cannot do these things. We cannot simply take up religion and think that somehow if we take up religion and we go to Mass or we go to church and we pray and read our Bibles and these kind of things, that suddenly everything will be all right. The problem of our sin will still be there. Something needs to happen. What is it? We need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to call upon this person. He has power. He has authority to forgive sins. And that's why it's no use going to a priest. It's no use going to a minister. It's no use going to any kind of religious guru or taking up new religion or whatever. God has addressed our greatest need. And that greatest need is sin. And the provision is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who know your Bibles will know that when John the Baptist introduced the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he say of him? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." This is what Jesus has done. By his life, by his death, by his resurrection, he has done something wonderful, something glorious, something that we cannot keep to ourselves. What is it? That he has dealt with our sin. But there's something that's required of you. Something must be done by you. And what is it? You must believe upon the Lord Jesus. And that is one of the reasons why we're out here this afternoon. Because many people don't know anything about Jesus. And some of the things they do know about Jesus are not true and not accurate. And therefore we want to bring you the truth. We want to tell you that this person has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we don't like to hear this, but the Bible's clear. All humanity is lost. Multitudes don't know it, that's true. But that does not change the fact that humanity by default is lost and must be saved. And the only way to be saved is to come and to believe upon the Lord Jesus. Believe what? Believe that he is the Son of God. Believe that he is the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. You must believe that he is the only begotten Son of God, and that he came down to this earth and became like us, sin only excepted. And he did this in order that he might be able to go to the cross at Calvary and offer up himself as a once for all perfect sacrifice. You must believe in him. And you must believe that he died as a substitute. He did not die as a criminal. Yes, he was crucified between two criminals. That's true. But he himself was innocent. There was no sin in the Lord Jesus. He did not deserve to die. Rather, he gave up his life voluntarily and offered up his life as a sacrifice in order to save us from our sins. And you must believe that. that God was punishing him instead of mankind. And you must believe that there Jesus offered up that once for all perfect sacrifice. A sacrifice that we know was accepted by God. How do we know that the work of Christ was accepted? He went to the cross. Nails were put through his hands and feet, and a spear was pierced on his side. There was a crown of thorns upon his head, and ultimately he gave up his life and he died. He was dead on the cross, and he came down. He was taken down off the cross, dead, a corpse, lifeless, and he was put into a borrowed tomb. That was Friday evening. Saturday he remained in the tomb. But very early on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, by the way, not as our calendars will tell us is Monday. Sunday is the first day of the week. And on that day, what happened? Very early in the morning, Jesus rose from the grave. That tells us that the work of Christ was accepted. God would never raise up an imposter. God would never raise up a charlatan or a liar or someone we couldn't trust. And by the fact that he was risen again demonstrates that God found his work acceptable in his sight and that he was the Son of God. Because this is something that the Jews didn't like and they couldn't accept, that Christ was the eternally begotten Son of God, that he was divine. And therefore we come this afternoon to tell you about Jesus. He is the most important person in the whole of this universe. Many people today, they don't believe upon the gospel, and they don't believe the Bible, and they don't believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And they even say that there was not a person called Jesus who walked about in Israel some 2,000 years ago. That is, quite frankly, ridiculous. The whole of our time has been changed by the coming of Christ. Time itself has been changed. Something momentous, something that no other individual has ever managed to achieve. But our time has been divided between BC, before Christ, and AD, in the year of our Lord. And this would demonstrate to us that the Lord Jesus Christ, as we find him portrayed in the Bible, actually did come to this world and actually did walk about, teach and preach and perform miracles and do all kinds of things, guaranteeing that he was the Messiah that the Jews had longed for and that he had truly come in the fullness of time. And therefore, to deny the existence of the Lord Jesus is, quite frankly, going against all the evidence that's right before our very eyes. It is incredible that anyone could possibly believe that Jesus did not exist. And I want to tell you this afternoon that this Jesus is alive. No, he's not here upon the earth. No, he's not. He's in heaven today. He now sits at God's right hand. The time came when he ascended. He left his disciples behind and he ascended before their very eyes and he was taken up into heaven. And an angel appeared before the disciples and the apostles and they said to them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? Because this same Jesus will return in like manner." And friends, Jesus did come the first time. He did come. And he's changed this world. And Glasgow and Partick and Scotland and the UK and indeed all of the world has benefited from his coming. Things have been transformed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we need to grasp and realize is that this same Jesus will return. Yes, it may seem ridiculous to you. And the Bible tells us and warns us that in the last days, scoffers will come. Scoffers. And they will say, where is his coming? Where is his coming? We don't see him coming. Things have gone on just as they've always done. And this truth, this doctrine about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is but nonsense. It is but foolishness, they will say. But the day will come, friends, when every eye shall see him. He will come with clouds. He will come in glory. He will not come in humility like he did the last time. He will not live in humility like he did the last time. He will come in glory. He will come in the glory of the Father. He will come in the glory of the holy angels. And every eye shall see him, the Bible tells us. Go again, look at your Bibles. Look to Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And even those that pierced him, and all the nations of the earth shall wail and mourn because of him. But John goes on to say, even so come, Lord Jesus. And we want to tell you about this person because today, friends, as we're here at Partick Station this afternoon, today is the day of grace. Today is the day when, in some sense, the hand of heaven is being extended to you in the gospel, because we've all sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God, we're all under God's wrath and condemnation. We need to be reconciled to God. That's the message that comes from heaven. And today, now, is the time to be accepted. Today is now the day of salvation. Yes, it is, sir, because this is the day when you are to put your faith and hope and trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ and to be reconciled to God, because there is a day of judgment coming, which will not be the day of grace. And that day of judgment will be a day when strict divine justice will be administered. And it will be administered by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches us. And therefore it's so important that you and I hear this message this afternoon. That today, in some sense, God is smiling upon you in the gospel. God is offering, he is extending his Son to you in the gospel this afternoon. And you are to be reconciled to God through believing upon the Lord Jesus, that he has died in your room and place. And do you know the wonder and the glory and the splendor of the gospel? That when you believe upon the Lord Jesus, what happens? It's not just an intellectual belief. What happens? Your sins are all forgiven. Every sin is forgiven. Every sin that you've ever committed, your sins and faults of childhood and of youth, middle age, maybe old age, I don't know where you stand today, but whatever, all your sins are forgiven when you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The slate is wiped clean and clear. It's a new start. You know, this is what the Bible calls being born again. Being born again. Have you heard that? Have you heard that in John chapter 3, verse 7? When Nicodemus, that great religious leader, the great teacher of the Jews, he was a mighty Pharisee, he was knowledgeable in the scriptures, and he came to discuss things with Jesus. We know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform these miracles except God was with you. That's what he said to Jesus. And Jesus really didn't take him up. Jesus said to him, ye must be born again. Nicodemus, there's no point in me talking to you about these things. You need the new birth. You need to be born again by the Spirit of God. Why? Because by nature, we are spiritually dead. Every one of us, as we come out of the womb, we are spiritually dead. What does that mean? Well, death in the Bible means separation. That's what it means. And when we're spiritually dead, it means we are separated from God by nature. The moment we come out of the womb. And that's why we need to be born again in a spiritual sense. Nicodemus thought that Jesus was talking about going back into the womb and coming out again. How ridiculous. But Jesus was talking about being made alive by the Spirit of God. That's what's required, friends. That is really what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who is born again, who has new life. He knows that experience. And you know, when you're born again, one of the first things that you will do, you will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You will then begin to see something of what God has been doing in Christ. You will see that by believing in this person, whom the world rejected, whom the Jews crucified, but by believing upon this person, your sins are forgiven. No one can forgive your sins but Christ. No one whatsoever. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. You need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder, friends, we don't confine this message to our church buildings or to our pulpits. This is a message that the whole world needs to hear. Why so? Because the Bible tells us very, very plain and uncomfortable facts that we are all sinners and we all need a Savior. You cannot save yourself. You cannot change your life by pulling up your socks or turning over a new leaf or being in any sense reformed by yourself. This is what God must do. And He does it through the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave His life a ransom for all. I want to ask you then, before I take a wee break, do you know anything of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know anything of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah, he's a fucking asshole with you.
That's a terrible thing to say, sir. It's a terrible thing to say. May the Lord grant you repentance. May the Lord grant you repentance. The Lord Jesus Christ is the most important person that you can possibly hear of. And you need to hear about Him in truth and in sincerity. And you need to be urged to put your faith and hope and trust upon Him. May the Lord bless His word to you.